So I wanted to particularly talk about one approach to this that De Gea emphasizes, the compassionate aspect. And actually, Pabindashini already mentioned it, and I think Matrisara mentioned it in terms of Tonglen practice. So it's the approach where you basically use your own experience to connect with others. So you might reflect, you're experiencing something that is painful. You're experiencing dukkha. So you reflect that others feel this as well. You connect with your own experience and you use that to sort of generate a connection with others. And Pabindashini talked about doing this in metta practice. So that whatever arises in metta practice can be part of the practice. There's nothing that need be outside it. Even if you start feeling hatred for somebody, you can still fold that back into the practice. You can reflect, you can notice it in the body and notice its painfulness, and then you can reflect, other people feel this as well. This is a common human experience. And in that way you're going, it's taking you beyond this small self. It's taking you into connection with other and compassion. So basically you're connecting with your own experience, you're seeing its universality, you recognize that others feel it, and that becomes the basis for compassion. And it's really interesting how when we're suffering, because it relates to and it's underpinned by this fixed separate self, it sort of goes with this illusion that we're the only one. You know, we know intellectually, we know that's not the case, and yet there's this kind of illusion that that's the case. It's only me that suffers this much, or in this particular way. It's not like that for other people. So when we reflect that it's not that, it's not so, there's a breaking down of that illusion of separation. So I wanted to use an example from my own experience. And the example is hot flushes. So I had about 4 months where I had really intense hot flushes. And during that period, I was on a silent retreat. So I had the opportunity to work with my hot flushes. What a wonderful opportunity for spiritual practice. Actually, it was a really good opportunity for spiritual practice, because I thought about it and I thought, actually, I'm not in danger. I know what these are. It's not like I don't know what's going on with my body. And actually, they only last for a few minutes, so it's like it's really intense and then you've got a break. So I thought, okay, I really want to engage with this, and if I'm going to suffer, I might as well get some insight out of it. That's what I thought. So I tried all these different approaches, and so the symptoms were intense heat. So it's like, some people are familiar with this. Yeah, sudden intense heat and just desperate desire to throw all your clothes off, and intense sweating, palpitations, and sometimes nausea. And then there's the aversion in the body to that experience. So I tried a number of different approaches. I tried a sort of basic, just giving it space, skylight mind, opening to it in the body. And sometimes that worked. But what I found with that was there were all these different sensations, and it was very hard because the awareness would be flitting around between the different ones. It was kind of hard to not have the aversion, basically. So then I tried this classic insight approach of sort of chopping up the experience. Okay, so the experience is compounded. We make a storyline, so we put a sticker label on it, hot flushes and my hot flushes. And but actually, okay, just break it down. What's going on in the moment? Okay, so there's this sensation, there's that sensation, and then there's the aversion, there's the sensations of resistance to it. Just going to the bare sensation. So some of the time that worked, but I think there was this, still this story or this label of this is a hot flush. And actually, I'd had an experience that really let me see that. I was looking on the internet and I was reading about acupuncture, and it said that it can be quite good for menopausal symptoms. And it said that actually acupuncture doesn't recognise hot flushes as kind of syndrome. It wouldn't take that approach. It would just kind of take all of the symptoms individually and then see what meridians related to them and treat it accordingly. And I felt quite sort of annoyed by that. And I could see in that that, why would I feel annoyed by that? It's like, oh, because there's no recognition of my hot flushes. You know, there's just a sort of breaking down into common or garden palpitations, and that was really interesting. So I could see that identification, that subtle identification, the me mine. So I think it can be so subtle, this stuff. the aversion, the identification. So then I did, because I do that practice quite a lot of kind of other people feel this. So that could be quite good sometimes. It would be some compassion out of that. But I didn't, I felt like there was something more that I wanted to be able to, was there a different approach? And then I tried doing this full sort of Tonglen practice. So you're not just reflecting other people feel this. You are, well, I describe it as exchanging self for other. So you're thinking, I'm going to take this on in order to alleviate somebody else's suffering. So you are welcoming in the experience in the spirit of, it's as if you could alleviate another suffering through doing that. So you're breathing in the suffering of others, yourself and others, and you're breathing out whatever would alleviate that suffering. And something in that just really, really worked. And then I could see that actually all these practices I was doing, there was still some aversion, basic aversion to the experience. So something in that just really brought the complete opening to the experience. And the first time I did it, I just had this really, really strong experience of bliss, and all these intense sensations somehow transformed. And there was that real sense of, yeah, self, going beyond separate self. So I wanted to finish with just a couple of quotes. One of them is from Pema Chodron. She's kind of the queen of turning towards, I think. Pema Chodron is an American Buddhist teacher. She writes so beautifully about turning towards experience. And then I've got a quote from Vidyamala, which relates to, particularly to what I was just talking about. So Pema Chodron says, we hear a lot about the pain of samsara, and we also hear about liberation. But we don't hear much about how painful it is to go from being completely stuck to becoming unstuck. The process of becoming unstuck requires tremendous bravery, because basically we are completely changing our way of perceiving reality, like changing our DNA. We are undoing a pattern that is not just our pattern, it's the human pattern. We project onto the world a zillion possibilities of attaining resolution. We can have whiter teeth, a weed-free lawn, a strife-free life, a world without embarrassment. We can live happily ever after. This pattern keeps us dissatisfied and causes a lot of suffering. When we feel lonely, when we feel hopeless, what we want to do is to move to the right or the left. We don't want to sit and feel what we feel. We don't want to go through the detox. Yet the middle way, that's the Buddhist path, encourages us to do just that. It encourages us to awaken the bravery that exists in everyone without exception, including you and me. Meditation provides a way for us to train in the middle way and staying right on the spot. Okay, so I'm going to finish with a reading from Vidyamala from her book Living Well with Pain and Illness. So I should put this in context really. Vidyamala's amazing being, very inspiring woman. She's mostly in a wheelchair, and she's had a chronic back condition since her teens. And she's started this whole organisation that's using mindfulness for pain, particularly pain, really. So one time when my back pain was particularly awful, I lay in bed and dropped into the pain. And with each breath, I softened my resistance to it. I felt I was dropping so far into my body and my life that I fell out of the bottom of me. I sensed a powerful connection with all the other people who were suffering in that moment. Children in African villages, women in childbirth, people who were dying. I didn't find connectedness by looking out of myself, but by engaging so deeply with my experience of pain that I emerged into something much stiller. The thought came to me, I'm not special. This is not a special experience. This is something that many people are having right now, and I can feel for those people because of what I'm experiencing. Instead of thinking, why me? Why am I the one with so much pain? The question became, why not me? Why should I not experience pain when it's part of the human condition? I don't think I could have felt that level of empathy without the pain I was experiencing.